Hello, boys and girls. This is Aunt Martha, and I have some more stories for you. This story will be Maddie's New Home. Maddie was 8 years old. Now she had a new home. She wasn't going to be living with her aunties anymore. She was sad to leave her mama, and she was sad to leave her aunties, and she was a bit afraid to go to her new home, but she needed to start third grade, and she needed to go before school started. So in Uncle Dory's car, they put her clothes, and she took her little chair along, the little chair that she could still sit on. It was the one Aunt Martha had given her when she was 2 years old. But she took it along to her new home at Cousin Emma's. This was not going to be a visit like every place else that she had recently stayed. She was to stay there. This was going to be her home for all the time. She also took her black dolly that had its own little red high chair, and she could put it in her new room. She had a nice bed in her new room and a nice chair to sit beside her bed. And there she put her little chair that she got when she was 2 years old. And she sat beside that, her dolly, in her own little red high chair. Cousin Emma could sew so nicely. And pretty soon Maddie had her dresses really nice, and for school it was very special. She was afraid to go to a new school. Her school was close enough that she could walk down the street. There was a neighbor boy that was her same age, and on a little further down the street was another girl her age, Shirley. So she and Shirley would walk to school when school would start. Cousin Emma took Maddie to visit Shirley, and that helped. Shirley seemed kind. School began, and Maddie had been in a really large school, first and second grade. Now this was a small school, and it was a different kind of school. She had to go upstairs to the second floor. One room, first and second grade, was on first floor, and her third and fourth grade was on the second floor. And she liked best when they could take turns ringing the bell. It was a long rope hung right above the stairs, and the bell would ring and ring, and they could ring it a couple times every time when it was their turn. Teacher that year had done so well with the boys and girls. She had so many interesting things, and Maddie was happy for this teacher. Her name was Miss Maud, and she was a nice teacher. But Maddie was missing her mama, and she would think about her two fathers in the father in the Promised Land, her Heavenly Father and her Papa, who had gone to be with Jesus a couple years ago when Maddie was 4 years old. Now, she didn't want to sing her song about I have a father in the Promised Land. It made her feel sad when she thought of her papa. But Cousin Paul tried to be a nice papa for her. He did many nice things for her, and they had a pleasant time together. But then something was happening in the world. There was a war, and they couldn't go out like they used to and buy things in the store. They had to have a special book for everyone, a special book when they wanted to buy meat, a special book when they wanted to buy gas for the car, even a very special book if they wanted to buy shoes. This was different. These were called rationing books. And something else happened right after Maddie went to live with Cousin Paul. Cousin Paul worked in a machine shop, and they started making things for the war. Cousin Paul loved the Lord, and he didn't want to make things for the war, so he had to stop working there. and then Cousin Paul couldn't find work. And it wasn't easy for them. Sometimes they wondered how they would get their bills paid, but God was with them. When springtime came, Cousin Paul found a farm that he could rent. He could go there and work there and live there. On this farm, there was a big farmhouse. Maddie could have a room all by her own self again. There were a lot of things that were exciting about this farm. There was a big lawn, and between two trees was a huge swing. When Maddie would go on this swing, she would swing so far. It was made out of sections of strong iron bars, and it was so much fun. Maddie felt she was flying when she got on this swing. It was hard to make it go all by herself because it was heavy, but she learned if she stood up and pumped her legs, she could go like a bird. This was so much fun. But this wasn't all that was exciting there. In the yard also was a fish pond. It's no ordinary round fish pond like you might think, but it was a pretty good-sized fish pond that had a nice concrete edge around it that had pretty stones set in the concrete, and it was in the shape of a four-leaf clover. From one side to the other was a bridge, and right in the middle of the fish pond was a platform that had been made into a fountain at one time, but the fountain wasn't working anymore. But Maddie could slip out of from the bridge onto this platform, and she could sit there and watch the fish. She could see the fish from the edges too, but she learned something real exciting to do when it was warm summertime about that fish pond. She would put bread between her bare toes and let it dangle in the water, and the goldfish would come and nibble and eat this bread. That used to make her toes tickle. But when Maddie first learned about this fish pond, she thought it was the most exciting thing, and she really loved it, and she thought that she was living in a palace. Now, in the house was no running water. There was electric, and this was a new thing. Maddie had a new job. Cousin Emma got her a bucket that wasn't too big, and she had to go to the spring house and dip down into the spring and get spring water. Oh, that water was so good. It really tasted so good. But there was also a cistern on the place outside in the back, and Maddie needed to bring one bucket of spring water and one bucket of cistern water. Cistern water was used to wash dishes and wash clothes. Maddie loved to go down outside the yard to the stream that ran by the place. This was a real nice stream. It had many springs along from the neighbors that made it a pretty good-sized stream by the time it got their place. And where their spring water overflowed from the spring, it joined the water that came down from the neighbors. Maddie just had a wonderful time in that lawn. She had her chores, and she sometimes helped to feed the calves at the barn. But Cousin Emma and Cousin Paul did the milking, and Maddie would have other things like helping to do the chickens. It was nice when they got new baby peepies, and they had to sit out in the evenings, and sometimes the peepies would get too much in a group, and a few of them would die, so it was important. They would have to be watched, and it was so much fun also to watch them get their little heads into the water and then hold their little heads up and like they were letting the water run down their little throats. Maddie was continuing at her school, and when the end of the school year came, she passed into fourth grade. She thought that would be fun to be a big fourth grader. The summertime was a busy time on the farm. Maddie had to help with the garden, and she would help to learn. She learned how to weed the vegetables, and she would help to shell peas. She especially liked it when they had peas to shell, because she just thought one of the best things about summertime was to eat raw peas. Oh, she thought they were so sweet. One neighbor man saw her one time eating raw peas, and he said, "You're going to turn green from eating so many raw peas." That worried Maddie a little while, but Cousin Emma said, "No, raw peas were good, and she could eat raw peas." She liked her vegetables, and that was good because that helped Maddie to grow. When Maddie had her 9th birthday, she had been with Cousin Paul's almost a whole year. She thought back to that first visit. She had been a happy girl that time, but she was not knowing at that first visit that she was going to stay for always. And now she had been there one whole year. That was longer than she had stayed at any place since she was 4 years old. She had stayed at many homes. And sometimes Maddie was not an obedient girl. Many people told her what to do, and she didn't always like to listen. And so Cousin Paul and Cousin Emma had to give Maddie some spankings, and that was not easy. It was not easy for her to think about that these people were going to have to be her mama and papa now, although she didn't call them papa and mama. They were good to her. And again, when she was growing, she needed new dresses for school and for church. And it was not easy. Cousin Paul's did not have much money. The war was still on, and it was not easy to find money for special things like a new dress. But the feed came for the chickens in special printed bags. And when Cousin Paul went to get the chicken feed, Cousin Emma would say, "See if you can get 2 or 3 bags with the same kind of material. They will make good dresses for Maddie for school." Maddie was always very pleased. These dresses were made nice because Cousin Emma would wash up the material real nicely, and she would iron it out, and then she would cut out nice dresses, and they always fit Maddie so well. She didn't care that they were made out of feed bags. Some of the bags were white, or almost white, and out of those, Cousin Emma made nice underclothes for Maddie. She had nice clothes, even though they were made out of feed bags. Another nice thing about living on the farm, you had to have special ration coupons for sugar. But Cousin Emma was a wise woman, and she used honey. Cousin Paul had gotten bees, and they made honey. And so when other people didn't know how to get along without sugar, Cousin Emma was wise. She used honey and saved the sugar for very special things. Also on the farm, they didn't have to go out and buy meat because the farmer would give them meat. He would give them pigs to butcher, and they had their chickens. So really, while many people did not have it easy during this time, Cousin Emma and Cousin Paul made very good use of the things they had on the farm, and that made it easier. Cousin Emma and Cousin Paul took Maddie to church every Sunday. She really became very happy in her new Sunday school. And because she stayed there a long time and went every Sunday to the same church, she really thought that this was a special church, and it became a very pleasant place for her to go. Before this, when she visited in so many homes, she was never at the same church very often. So now she had her own Sunday school teacher, and she was happy. Cousin Emma helped her with her Sunday school lesson, and Cousin Emma would help her with her prayers. In this home, she learned that Jesus loved her there, too. She didn't have her own mama and her own papa, but she did have the same Jesus that they had taught her about. And now she could be happy, even though sometimes when she felt sad, she would wish she could be back with her own, very own mama. But she knew that Cousin Emma and Cousin Paul were making a good home for her. She tried to remember that this was making her father in heaven and her papa who had gone to heaven, this was making them happy when she could be happy. She was thankful that here she had a good home.
I can be a little missionary if the gospel story to the lost and hairy. I can work for Jesus in the homeland. Lord, hear my send me. I don't have to cross the salty ocean to the needy heathen to show my devotion. I can pray and give to send the others who represent me there. I'll be faithful studying and praying. If the Master calls me, home will I be staying. To the fields already white to harvest, send me, O Lord, I pray. One talent have I to take to the sky, while others are blessed with another bless. Why should I complain? My duty refrain, no, never, not die. One talent have I to take to the sky, while others are blessed with ten of the best. Why should I complain? My duty refrain, no, never, not
say, do you love Jesus?
Yes, I love Jesus.
Do you really love Jesus?
Yes, I really love Jesus.
Then why do you love Jesus?
Here's why I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. I love Jesus. I really love Jesus. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, because he first
Boys and girls, I know you know the song, This Little Light of Mine. Have you thought about what that means for you? Sister Laws was having children's meeting that evening, and this was the topic that she was going to use for the boys and girls. She gathered all the boys and girls to the front of the church, and there they sat with expectancy. Sister Laws said, Boys and girls, do you have a light that you let shine? What does it mean for you to let your light shine? Well, different ones looked at her very seriously, but no one would answer. She said, Let's talk about letting your light shine. Sister Laws had a paper bag full of something, and it looked heavy. She started bringing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 flashlights out from a paper bag and started giving to the boys and girls. Will this make a lot of light? She asked the boys and girls. Yes, said John, it will make a lot of light. Let's sing This Little Light of Mine and hold your flashlight. Those of you who are holding them, hold them up and point them to the ceiling. And we'll believe that this is going to be a symbol of the light that you can let shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. All of a sudden, the lights went out, but the flashlights were turned on. That is, they tried to turn them on. Only one flashlight that Sister Laws was holding made any light. Every child was sort of restless about this and were looking why they couldn't work their flashlights. So they stopped the singing. The lights came back on. Boys and girls, something must be wrong with your flashlights. What kind of things would keep them from making a light? Let's see. Now, John, let's look at yours first. Oh, what's wrong? I don't see a bulb in your flashlight. We'll say that this person with a flashlight like this, with a light like this, doesn't even know about Jesus. They don't know that the good things come from Jesus, and that Jesus asked even little boys and girls to live for Him by obeying their parents, by doing many things that show that they have a teaching in their home. This isn't good enough for us to be saved, but we do want to let our light shine. This is for the boys and girls lesson this evening. All right, Mary, let me see your flashlight. Your flashlight doesn't feel very heavy. Let me see. And so Sister Laws opened the back of the flashlight. There was only one battery in this flashlight, but she took the battery out and inside was some papers. The one paper said, Telling Lies. Boys and girls, would that keep a light from shining for Jesus? Yes. And you all know how easy it is to tell one lie. And then it doesn't stop at one lie. Sometimes you say, but I didn't do it. And then you think, oh, I'll say someone else did it. And then you say, but Gary did it. And you have told two lies because you have done it, and then you blamed it on someone else. Many lies don't stop even at one and two. And some, dear boys and girls, get such a habit, and they need Jesus to cleanse their hearts, and that they can really have a true light for Jesus. What else is on this paper? Stealing. Boys and girls, that is taking something that belongs to someone else. And you say, well, I don't steal. But maybe you say something to make the other boys and girls feel very badly towards someone. And that's stealing a good name from that person. And it's not hard to see a pretty pencil that you want And you think, well, they don't need that. Like, I need it, so I will take it. That's stealing. Or maybe you're with your mother, and mother is busy buying something in the store. And you see a piece of candy, and no one will know because there are many other pieces of candy left. And you slip it into your pocket. And then sometime when mama is not looking, you eat that piece of candy. That is stealing. Boys and girls, that keeps our light from shining. Well, let's see. If we take these papers out, and we put another battery in where these papers were, will that help? Yes. Jesus wants to take our old sins away and give us a good light to shine. All right? Susan, let me see your flashlight. Your flashlight's not very heavy either. Well, you have one battery. Isn't that enough to make a flashlight burn? No. What is in yours? Can you read it? Disobeying parents. Oh, boys and girls, that makes it so hard for a light to shine. In Sunday school, you may learn good things, and Daddy and Mother want you to learn so many good things, but when Mama asks you to do something, you say, I don't want to. That is disobedience. Or, if you, Mama says, you may sit with the boys and girls, but please don't talk. And when you disobey Mama and continue talking in your class or continue talking in church and disturbing others, that's being disobedient to parents, even as well as being not nice in God's house. There are other times Mama says, please watch sister. I need to be in the garden for a while. But you don't watch sister closely, and she gets into mother's flower pot, and she spills it. Oh, you hurry so quickly to put it, to clean up the mess and to reset the plant, and you try to make it look just like Mama had. And Mama doesn't notice it. When she comes in from the garden, she said, did you get along well with sister? Oh, yes. See, there you tell a lie. And you have disobeyed because you have not watched sister closely. That is not letting your light shine. And that is hard for your mother because she doesn't realize for a long time that her flower was disturbed and that you have disobeyed her. I'm sure she could do something about the flower, but the disobedience is a very serious thing, and Mama should give a punishment for disobeying her. Now, Jimmy, let me see your flashlight. See, we've had lying and stealing and a lack of a light bulb, lack of even being taught to do the right things. And then we had being disobedient to our parents, disobeying our parents. Now, what have you in your flashlight? Unkind words. Oh, that's something boys and girls all seem to know about. Unkind words. Those do not let, unkind words are not letting our light shine for Jesus. What about this other paper? What does it say? It says, being unpleasant to my friends. Now that could be hurting them. It could be talking ugly to them. It could be making fun of them. There would be so many things that would come under this. Unkind to my friends or unkind to anyone. Being unkind is not the way to let your light shine. Boys and girls, these are just a few of the things. Do you have a flashlight yet? Yes, flashlight number 5. Well, your flashlight feels just fine. It has a bulb. You couldn't get it lit? No?
light. Well, let's open it up and see what's wrong. Here's one battery. Here's two batteries. Well, it seems just so fine. People are watching this flashlight, and it seems like it will be just fine. But it won't make a light. Oh, way down in here. What is this? Well, it's something very tight down in here. What is this? A piece of money. Why, it's a $20 bill. Will money keep our light from shining? Yes, boys and girls, money will keep our light from shining. Maybe some boys and girls have a lot of money to spend, and they spend it foolishly, and they are not giving at Sunday school. Maybe it is even offering money that Daddy and Mother have given to put in the offering, and you are keeping it. You are not putting it into the offering. And you know that when you go downtown with a friend, or when you stay overnight at Mary's house, that you maybe can go to the store next door, and you can spend that. And Mary will think that your mama gave it to you, but it was your offering money. You're stealing from the Lord. You're being disobedient to parents, and you love that money better than loving the Lord and obeying. That is a way that your light will not shine. Let's take it out. Maybe it isn't even that you have any money. Maybe you don't have much money. Maybe you don't even get spending money at home. But you love money so much that you just wish and wish and wish you had money, and it makes you unhappy. That will keep your light from shining too, because you won't be a happy, obedient child. You'll fuss and fuss at Mama and Daddy because they don't give you money. You can't understand why you can't have pretty clothes, and you're so sad about the clothes that Mother washes up for you, and yet they are not new, and you wanted a new dress for the picnic, and you are so unhappy and disobedient. You see, it was the love of money, or maybe we could say the love of things, and that did not let your light shine. Now we have all these flashlights fixed up, and we have all the papers taken out. Now let's see. And now let's sing the song the whole way through. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, and you can hold your flashlights again, and now they should work. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Oh, we were in the dark, weren't we? But did we have more light? We were not frightened because we had six flashlights here that were shining brightly. It's like that in the world. God says in His Bible that we should walk in the light. And He says we are light. And He says God is the light too. And He shines in the darkness. So where we share Jesus, where we live for Jesus, we are also letting our light shine. Thank you, boys and girls.
Love is like a circle, a circle big and round. And when you see a circle, no ending can be found.
Thank you.
stayed inside that fish, and now he prays to the Lord to let his fish be spinning around. They brought him up on the dry ground and dragged him there, a floating ground, got up and went to Nineveh without a cloud. When God tells you what to do, you'd better do it. You better do it. You better do it. It doesn't beg, it's a beg, that's all there's to it. Or like China, you'll find out the hard way. Do you have a sunshine smile? Do you have a sunshine smile? Wherever you may go, wherever you may be, do you have a sunshine smile? Do you have a sunshine? Yes, am I a leaf? Do you have a sunshine? Yes, am I a leaf? Wherever you may go, wherever you may be, do you have a sunshine, yes, am I a leaf? Do you have a sunshine? Do you have a sunshine? Wherever you may go, wherever you may be, do you have a sunshine? Yes, I have a sunshine smile. Yes, I have a sunshine.
To sing the song, but I hate to see an empty bench, and I boys and girls. I have a story about Clayton Learns to Obey. When Clayton was 4 years old, he just thought the best thing that could ever happen was to go pick berries at Grandma's house. Grandma lived on a farm, and along the fence rows there would be blackberries, even raspberries in her garden, at the end of her garden, and other kinds of berries that Grandma just knew were so good, and Grandma could make the best jelly for his bread. Clayton just thought it was just so much fun to go to Grandma's house. Now, Clayton had big brothers and sisters, and of course, when they really went berry picking, the older brothers and sisters thought it was a lot of fun, but also a lot of work. No one asked too much from Clayton because Clayton was only 4 years old. Clayton could just enjoy in eating berries, and no one said too much about it. Clayton begged and begged, "Mama, today it's pretty, it's sunshiny, let's go pick berries." "No, we have picked all the blackberries that we need to pick. Now we need to work in the garden today at Grandmother's house. Grandmother needs our help, since Grandfather is not living to take care of her. Grandmother is not able to do as well as she used to. We're all going over to Grandmother's house, and the older brothers and sisters will help in the garden, and you can help by being a good boy." Well, Clayton was happy to think about going to Grandmother's house, but it was not going to be for berry picking. Soon everyone trudged down the road. It was early in the morning, and so it was not yet too hot. The dust along the road came up between Clayton's toes, and he liked that. The mile and a half walk to Grandmother's house made them all thirsty, and so Grandmother had some good cold lemonade made. That was a special treat because Grandmother had to buy the lemons and squeeze them and put the sugar with them. They didn't do then like they do now and just buy some kind of a mix to put together. And so everyone was happy to have the cold lemonade before they went out to the garden to work. Now Mother told Clayton, "You may play while we work in the garden here, but I do want you to stay nearby." She warned him because she knew how much he loved to go down to the woods. And the woods was fine to play in along the edge, but a little boy 4 years old without bigger brothers and sisters might soon get lost. Clayton did play with an old wooden truck that Grandma had that was his very favorite toy when he went to Grandma's house. But he got tired after a while, and they were still busy picking beans in the garden for Grandmother. He began going closer and closer to the edge of the woods, and no one was really watching. He knew better, but he thought, "I'll not go very far." Just before you would get to the edge of the woods was a fence row. So that's where we pick blackberries. I'm going to look to see if I can find some blackberries there. And so he walked down along the woods, along the fence. And sure enough, there were some pretty purple clusters of berries. Oh, Mother didn't know that there was berries down here, thought Clayton. And he began to think they would be good to eat. They were very soft and juicy, so they made his hands very purple, and he began to eat a few. But he only got to eat a few until Reuben came running. "Clayton, where are you? Mama says you must come up with us." Well, Clayton knew he had to obey when Mother found out that he was away from them, and so he went along back with Reuben. Mother took one look at Clayton. "Clayton, what have you been eating?" Now, Clayton didn't drop all the berries that he had had. He had broken a little stem off. "Clayton, have you been eating pokeberries?" "Oh, no." Mama was so upset. She said, "Those are very poisonous, Clayton. They will make you very, very sick. They might even be too much for you." She didn't want to tell him how sick he could get. "But they were purple berries, Mama. They look like blackberries." "But they were not blackberries. Oh, Clayton, I wish you had obeyed and stayed close. Hurry, we must go to the house." He didn't know what was going to happen. Was Mama going to switch him? But Mama hurriedly went to Grandma's cabinet and got out some mustard. And she put a pan of water on the stove and made lukewarm water and put mustard in it. What was she going to do with that? Mama said, "Oh, Clayton, you must drink this. You must drink it all." Clayton didn't want something that tasted so nasty. It smelled nasty. It tasted nasty. "But Clayton, you must. You must drink it." Well, she kept on and coaxed and worked until Clayton had drank that whole cupful. Well, it wasn't down very long till it was back up. But that's what Mama wanted. She had wanted him to get rid of those pokeberries, those poison pokeberries, out of his stomach. Oh, Clayton felt miserable. Mother washed him up, washed off his purple hands and wiped his purple face. And she held him close and she said, "Oh, Clayton, I am so thankful Reuben found you before you ate very many pokeberries. These are very, very poisonous. Clayton, you are only 4 years old, but you must learn to obey. As you get older, when you do not obey, you will find there are even more poisons out there. Oh, maybe not poisons that will hurt your stomach, but poisons that will hurt your mind. Poisons like bad company and bad words and things that make Jesus feel very sad." She sat on the rocking chair and rocked him a little while. "Clayton, you're going to grow up to be a good man. I thank God that He gave you to me, and you will learn to obey. I will help you. Let's pray just now that and thank God that He helped us to find you and that you are going to learn to obey." She sat still on the rocker and folded her hands, and Clayton folded his hands. And Mama bowed her veiled head and prayed, "Oh God, you have given Clayton a lesson today in obedience. And we were able to get the poison up from his stomach. Help me always to help him to keep away from the poisons of sin and temptation. Help him to grow to be a fine boy, a fine man. Thank you, God, for saving his life today. And thank you, Father, for helping us all to want to obey you better. In Jesus' name, amen." She gave Clayton a kiss on his forehead. "Run along, little boy, but stay close to the rest of us. You will learn to obey, and we will help you, and God will help you."
Jesus loves the little one that me. Jesus loves the little one that me. Little one.
To tell you is about Judy, and the name of the story is Letting It Heal. Letting It Heal. All week, Judy was so busy telling the girls at recess, "On Saturday, we are going to Grandmother's house. Grandmother is going to have a sale. She's going to move in with Uncle John. And so she will not need her furniture anymore. And I can get to play with Jean, and we're going to help to pack boxes." On and on, she was so happy to tell her friends at school. Everyone at school knew that Jean was Judy's very best cousin, and that she didn't get to see her very often, maybe just at Christmas and when they had a reunion in the summertime. And now to be able to spend a whole weekend with Jean was going to be very special for Judy. The girls had been hoping that sometime before school was out, they could all have a sleepover. And Betty's mother had told her that morning, "Now, Betty, if you would like, You could have some of the girls to come here and sleep over on Friday night, and we will have a Saturday morning together, and then we will let, I will see that they get home after lunch. I will write a note here, and you can give it to the girls for them to take home for their mothers. Judy was so busy thinking about going to grandmother's house. Her parents were going to come at the end of the day, right when school was out, that somehow she totally missed the announcement that the girls were talking about. And the girls were really sorry that this happened to be the weekend that Judy was going to be away, because they liked Judy in their group. But somehow Judy didn't find it out that they were all going to go to sleep over at Betty's, the fifth grade girls. Mother and Daddy were there in the car when they pulled up after school, when school was out. But Judy knew as soon as they got in the car that something was not right. Judy, we have had a disappointment. Something has come up at Daddy's work that is very, very important, and they must get an order out. He came home early to tell me, and we decided just to come over and pick you up like we had planned. But we are not going to be able to get to go to grandmother's this weekend. Hopefully we can go next weekend. We have called and told them that we are just so very sorry. You know, the foreman that works with Daddy has been sick, and there is no one else to take Daddy's place. Oh, Judy's heart fell. She felt so sad. She had looked forward to playing with Jean and being with Jean and helping at grandmother's. It was hard for her to accept this. Mother said, "I will help you and Jason have a special treat this evening. When Daddy goes back to work, we will go to McDonald's to eat our supper." Now that was also another thing that was a favorite, and what they did not do very often, because Mother was able to fix nutritious meals at home, and they did not eat out because that costs money. But Mother knew how very, very disappointed the children were, and she did want to think of something special. Then they decided that they would go on over to visit on the other side of town Jason's friend who had moved over there. Now, Jason's friend Gerald had a sister, Mary, and Mary was a good friend too of Judy's, but they didn't see each other very often because she went to another school. As boys and girls and growing up do, they can get over disappointments. And Mother thought the evening went quite well. The girls on Sunday morning in Judy's Sunday school class said, "Judy, you are here. We thought you went to your grandmother's." "Well, yes, I did go. Thought I was going to go to my grandmother's, but Daddy had to work, and so we could not go this weekend." "Oh, we were all at Betty's house, and we slept over there Friday night." "Well, why didn't you tell me?" "Well, we just didn't even think about it because you were going to grandmother's house." "Oh, but why didn't you tell me?" And Judy was so, so hurt. She just wouldn't even pay any attention. She walked away from the girls. They looked at it so sober, and they said, "Well, we didn't know that Judy was home. We thought she was at her grandmother's house." Betty ran after Judy and said, "Judy, come on. Forgive us. We did not know that you were home. We would have loved to have had you there, but we didn't know you were home." "Oh, I know. You just didn't want me. You just didn't want me. I don't want to be your friend anymore." And Judy walked away with a long, pouty face. The girls were bewildered to know what to do. After services, Judy went out and sat in the car. Always she wanted to be with her friends, but not today. Mother came and said, "Judy, are you sick?"
"No."
"What's wrong?"
"Nothing."
"Judy, now I know something is wrong. What is wrong?" "Well, the girls just don't like me anymore. They slept over at Betty's house on Friday night and they never told me. They never even invited me. They intentionally missed me. They didn't want me. I know it. They just did not want me."
"Aw," Mother said, "you know, Judy, that's not right. They did want you."
"No, they didn't want me. They didn't even tell me at school on Friday."
"Well, but you told them, I guess. You told them you were going to Grandmother's house."
"Yes, but they could have checked to see if I went to Grandmother's house. And I didn't get to go to Grandmother's house, and I didn't get to go to the sleepover." She really had a pity party. Self-pity, she felt so bad. She could hardly eat her lunch, and she just went up to bed in the afternoon and cried herself to sleep. Mother and Daddy were concerned about this, and they prayed for Judy. When Judy got up, she washed her face and tried to get herself to feeling a little bit better. And she found a book to read and read until supper time. Then it was evening church time. Well, she was not going to sit with those girls. She was not even going to talk to them. And she didn't. She kept away on the other side of the benches so that she wouldn't have to be near the girls. Monday morning came. There were just one more week of school, and the girls were happy to think about school being almost out. But Judy would not have anything to do with her fifth grade friends. She went with some of the sixth grade girls or the fourth grade girls, or went to the library to read a book. The girls tried really hard, but Judy refused to let the hurt heal. She just was not ready to ask them to forgive her for acting so nasty. She was not willing to forgive them for not asking her to sleep over. And she was one miserable girl. It was very difficult for her to be pleasant at home, and her lessons, though almost all her lessons were finished for the school year, really were neglected. She didn't do well. The teacher wondered if Judy was sick. Mother wondered if Judy was sick. But Judy would just not let God cleanse her from this nasty feeling. She needed to be cleansed. She needed a healing. She needed only to let God do it. A fifth grade girl is 10 years old. Judy was 10 years old. Judy knew that sometimes she wanted to give her heart to Jesus, but she had not given it to Jesus yet. And so she really didn't know the peace that Jesus could give her. Mother and Daddy kept praying. No amount of talking or coaxing, they were surprised how she could be so stubborn about this. She just wanted to pity herself. She kept saying, "They did it on purpose. They didn't even invite me. And they just don't like me, and so I'm not going to talk to them." On Thursday, Jason and his friend Gerald were able to spend a little time together while Gerald's mother wanted to talk to Jason and Judy's mother. Gerald had a new knife his father had given him for his birthday. Gerald warned, "It's sharp, Jason, so be careful," as he let Jason hold the knife. Jason wasn't quite sure how it happened, but before he knew it, he had cut his finger
Oh, the blood just ran, and he called for Mother. Mother came running. Oh, Jason, what have you done? Gerald's mother said, Oh, Gerald, Father told you to be so careful. Well, we were being careful. Well, this was not the time to scold. Mother got a Kleenex and held it tightly against the cut area. Well, it doesn't look like it's too deep. It is bleeding very, very much, but it's not too deep. I don't think it will need stitches. She got out the peroxide bottle and cleaned it up and put several wrappings of bandage around it so tightly to stop the bleeding. Gerald was sorry that Jason had cut his finger. Jason wore his bandage proudly. I've cut my finger on Gerald's knife, he told everyone over and over, but I know now that I need to be very careful with a sharp knife. Judy continued to be an unhappy girl with her wound. Her wound was not on a finger like Jason's. Her wound was in her heart. Jason seemed pleased about his finger, and Mother changed the dressing every day. Jason would watch as it seemed to be healing nicely and getting a scab on it. And it was getting well. Mother could just put a Band-Aid on it now. Putting the Band-Aid on was tempting to Jason because he wanted to see it. He wanted to show people this wound. And so again and again when he would be near someone, the neighbor man, the paper boy, I want to show you how my finger is healing. It's healing nicely. But no longer did it bleed, and no longer was people interested in seeing his wound. He began to pick at the scab, and do you know what? It began to bleed at places. Oh, people say, oh, you have hurt your finger. Now they wanted to make a fuss over it again for him. He seemed to enjoy that, so he kept picking at the scab. One day Judy saw him. Judy said, Jason, stop picking at the scab. You won't let it heal. It needs to be left alone. It needs that healing to be taking place. You must let it heal. But Jason didn't obey her. He wanted to be sure that it would still bleed a little and people would feel sorry for him. Mother put a clean Band-Aid twice that day. So the next morning at breakfast, Mother said, Now, Jason, I don't want you to open your Band-Aid any time to show anyone. I want you to let this sore heal. Father hasn't been saying too much about what was going on that morning, but he was quiet and he was thinking. Judy piped up, Daddy, Jason won't let his sore heal. He keeps picking at it again and again. He won't let it heal. Daddy looked at Judy thoughtfully and said, Judy, I know another sore that doesn't seem to be healing because it hasn't been taken care of properly. What are you talking about, Judy? Well, you're sore. Oh, I don't have a sore. I didn't cut myself. Judy, you have been a very unhappy girl lately. You do not want to forgive. You do not want to forgive the girls for not inviting you to the sleepover. And you are not willing for them to ask you to forgive them. You won't even go close to them. Oh, I don't want to be their friends. They're not my friends. They were nasty to me. Judy, that is not correct. They did not mean to be nasty. But even if they did mean to be nasty, you must learn to forgive. You must learn to forgive. We need to, even as grown-ups, learn to forgive those that hurt us. We grown-ups get hurt sometimes for something that someone says or someone does something to us. Or maybe it's something that someone does not do or does not tell us, and we feel sad and left out. But we must forgive, and then we must let it heal. Jason will not let his sore heal. He keeps picking at it. He keeps wanting to see the blood, and then people will look at it and feel sorry. You will not let your sore heal, your sore that's in your heart. You want to be sorry for, you want to feel sad, it seems, and yet we know that you're miserable. Judy, just now, will you let Jesus into your heart? You know that Jesus wants to love you. He has been loving you. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants you to give your whole heart to Him. Judy said quietly. Pretty soon, big tears did begin to roll down Judy's face. Yes, Daddy, I have been so miserable. And I know Jesus is talking to me. And I know Jesus wants to forgive me for all this bitterness and this ugliness. And He wants to heal my hurt. Oh, Daddy, I see it now. I see. Jason will not let his sore heal. He keeps picking at it. That's what I'm doing. I will not let my sore heal. But Jesus wants to heal it. Oh, Daddy, will you please help me? Yes, Judy, I want to help you. Let's kneel right down here by the breakfast table, and we will talk to God about it. We want God to do the healing for both you and for Jason, and even for Mother and I. We need to let the hurts of the past, let them go, and find Jesus' strength to forgive. Daddy did help Judy to open her heart to Jesus. Her heart felt so much lighter than it had for 2 whole weeks. Oh, she said, Daddy, tomorrow at church, I want to go to the girls and I want to talk to them. Yes, and we want to also talk to Brother John and have him talk with you and see how you can express yourself in wanting to be saved.
Standing by a professor, heeding God's command, honor them the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Many mighty men are lost, staring out their steps.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit to the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19. Hammers break and smash and pound, great big rocks to bits of ground. God's word is a hammer too, breaking up the sin in you. I love the Bible, I love the Bible, I love the Bible, it is the word of God. After dark we take a light, making daylight out of night. If we read God's word each day, it will light us on our way. I love the Bible, I love the Bible, I love the Bible, it is the word of God. As the fire burns warm and dry, burning trash right out of sight, so God's word like fire we see, will burn sin and trash in me. I love the Bible, I love the Bible, I love the Bible, it is the word of God. Water washes dirt away from our hands and face each day. Jesus' blood will cleanse within all the spots and stains of sin. I love the Bible, I love the Bible, I love the Bible, it is the word of God. I think when I read that sweet story of old, when Jesus was here among men, how he called little children as lambs to his fold. I should like to have been with them then. I should like to have been with them then. I should like to have been with them then. How he called little children as lambs to his fold. I should like to have been with them then. I wish that his hand had been placed on my head, his arms had been thrown around me, and then I might see his kind look when he said, let the little ones come unto me. Let the little ones come unto me. Let the little ones come unto me. And then I might see his kind look when he said, let the little ones come unto me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on Calvary, from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back, what a glory that will be. Wonderful his love to me. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his precious name. Oh, how sweet hope of earth and joy of heaven. days filled with joy and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place, but until then, my heart will go on singing. But until then, with joy I'll carry on until the day my heart beholds the city. Until the day God calls me home.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.